Start.
All right. Yo, welcome to Value Town. I'm your host today, Trump, along with my co-host, Chanman. And we've got Hafu as the swirling duck.
Camera.
I'm sorry.
It just froze right when we started the intro, too. What the heck?
Yep. Well, how you doing, Chanman?
Doing well. We're trying to, you know, mix things up today. It's going to be awesome having Trump host today. Oh, looks like Hafu's getting started, but...
Yep, we'll go ahead and wait for Hafu, but let me talk her up while we get her back on the line. So, she is the newest member, well, along with, of course, all the others, of Cloud9, and just last month she got that top 16 ladder ranking. I believe she hit number 7 or such? 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is this not working? Why is it saying my webcam is XSplit? I don't even have XSplit anymore. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't open anything.
Yeah, Hafu, just try to close off the other programs that use the webcam, and then you might have to restart Skype.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Like, this was all literally ready to go, and then all of a sudden, Skype, I think, went crazy here.
Nothing else uses my webcam. I'm going to just close all the things. I'm so sorry if you're back.
No, it's all right. We can still hear you. That's the important part.
So how you been, Sean?
I've been good. Doing real well. So we're going to talk about... let's skip the Cloud9 thing while we get Hafu on the line. And then talk about what's going on in ladder-wise. Chris, what you been doing?
Oh, ladder? So last season I tried... I was just torturing myself trying to get a mid-range paladin to actually work, just to get to legend, but that never ended up happening. So this season, I'm going to actually start playing some priest, because it's been a while since I played priest. So going to try and experiment some. Obviously, I have a Mazda deck. I still think a Mazda deck is probably the best one, but I'm still experimenting. It's the early season. I usually like to experiment early season. How about you?
Okay. I'll take some while... You try to get rid of my giant face. Let's see. Last season, I tried to make it to the top 16 with stuff that I thought was going to be favorable against Miracle Rook. So I used a bit of Handlock, and then I used a bit of Freeze Mage, and I used Freeze Mage with Giants, and all of that seemed like it would have a favorable or 50% matchup against, like at worst, against Miracle, but it turned out to... Turns out that 50% isn't enough.
What did you end up? Because at one point I was watching your stream and you were at 20.
The highest I reached was 13. Okay. And then I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to hold this spot just by sitting on it. So played some more. 13 ended up being the highest I got that month.
Okay, and you ended outside the 16?
Yep.
Okay.
But after that, I started to do some serious training. Mm-hmm. So I would just look at Forsen's stream, actually, and that's the... And I actually did some interesting things. I started streaming his stream, because what I try to do is I tend to teach people to, if you want to get better, watch other people's streams and just talk through their moves, see if you would make the same moves. And that ended up, I think, helping a lot, and I hope it helped people who watched a lot, too, and I hope it gave Forsen a few people who recognize his skill and ability more.
What? I just restarted my computer, and it still doesn't work.
It still says XSplit?
I don't understand.
So XSplit isn't running, right?
No, I don't... Could I install XSplit if you like? I'm not sure why it's doing this.
It's okay. I guess for now, you can keep fiddling it, but we can just continue. I have a picture of you at least now.
All right. Sorry, friends.
It's okay.
Yep. Well, welcome on, Hafu. You're a bit still, but that's okay. And of course, those who don't know Hafu, you're under a rock, and she's one of the premier arena players, one of the highest win rates out there, and recently constructed pro. She joined on to Cloud9. How are you feeling, Hafu?
I am devastated that this webcam is not working. But I'm great. Thank you for having me on here, and what a kind introduction.
Yeah, what's it like being on Cloud 9 now? Last week we had Nimsh and Ekop over.
Well, we actually haven't done much as a team just yet. It's just a really recent thing, but I'm super excited to work with them. I think we have our first team session thingy tomorrow, so we'll see what happens, I suppose. But I'm excited. They're all really, really great players, so I'm thrilled to be on the team with them.
So did you have plans to be, like, when did you start looking for a team?
I had heard that a couple teams were looking for players, TSM, Cloud9, Fnatic, like a bunch of just, you know, big name teams. And I thought, I don't know, I was super hesitant to look for a team and kind of pursue Constructed, since I'm really competitive, and if I get into something, I never want to half-ass it. I want to give it my 100%. And being a full-time streamer, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to dedicate that kind of time into doing that, since I already have a job, so it's like a second job. And I've done the pro thing before. I know how much time and effort it takes, so I was just super hesitant. But Jack actually approached me with this team, and they said, hey, you know, we have these four players, and they'd love to have you as a fifth. What do you think? And when he listed the roster, I was like, yes, yes, I do want to do that. And just kind of rolling with it now.
Overall, is it that much different for you as a streamer, being in this competitive type of mindset versus just more entertain, I guess more of an entertainer?
Well, it's just another, like, being a streamer, you can kind of just play whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you don't have to answer to anyone. And being on a team, you kind of have to actually learn the game. I think that I'm a really good Miracle Rogue, and I can play, like, Druid, and I can play a bunch of decks mediocrely. Is that a word? But I'm sorry. I'm a little bit distracted because I'm just trying to figure. I don't understand.
Okay.
Why this webcam?
Don't worry about it. Just don't even bother with
okay.
it. We'll just go.
So sad. I'm going to show off the C9 hoodie.
Oh, that's right.
I know, man.
We'll try to fix it on break. When we take a break.
All right. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I'm super competitive, and if I'm going to be on a team and I go to tournaments, I want to do well. So now I'm kind of furiously trying to learn decks. I am staying away from Miracle Rogue. I have to, you know, just kind of be bad on stream, which is kind of hard to do, you know? Like, everyone watch you make mistakes, and they're like, how is this person legend? Like, I'm rank 14, and I would have seen that lethal that this person was in. And yeah, I mess up a lot, and you know, to get better, you have to make mistakes. You have to admit that you're not the best. You have to admit that when you're wrong, and you got to learn from it. And, like, Once you miss lethal that one time with that one situation, you, like, never miss it again because it just feels so terrible. So, but you have to do it.
Well, the good players stop missing it.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to have the attitude to always learn from your mistakes and to just...
Absolutely. That's kind of frustrating. I just played, like, 14 hours of Handlock yesterday, and it was my first time playing that deck, and I'm terrible. But, I just got to keep doing that. Gotta keep fight the urge to go back to Miracle and just stomp people. Just fight the urge to do something I already know how to do. Really learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry? What were you saying?
No, I was gonna say, I saw you and Strifegrow yesterday, right? He was on your stream.
Yes, and Kalento.
And Kalento. Oh, I didn't see Kalento.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Teammates helping you out already. That's great.
Yeah, they are awesome. That was the first time I ever talked to Kalento, in a Skype call at least. And he's really, really nice, really, really insightful, just really smart. Like, both of them are just amazing players, as everyone knows. So it's pretty cool to have them as my coach.
Is this a practice of Handlock some greater motivation? Or are you going to see Hafu in some tournaments?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, joining C9 comes with the hope of going to tournaments and hopefully doing well in tournaments. So, crunch time starts now.
Hopefully we can have you on Deck Wars. I'd love to have been asking you for ages.
Now I know, to be on Deck Wars. Again.
You tell me no every time.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so scared to mix the two. Again, I've done the prayer thing with World of Warcraft and Bloodline Champions, mm-hmm. and I just know how much time and effort and blood and sweat and tears, and especially like qualifying for this season, it was super stressful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done the freaking BlizzCon qualifiers for World of Warcraft, and it's just... Can I swear on this show? Or should I try not to? It's just sure. absolute trash on the last day. You know, everyone is playing. Everyone is playing. And you're like at rank 5 and you still don't feel safe. And just,
It's a great thing, though, right? I mean, it's a lot of energy on the ladder. I know it's stressful for you as a player, for sure.
I played 16 hours on that day. I did not. Wow. And again, like this kind of stuff, it just cuts into my job as a streamer, right? Like mm-hmm. I have this really good thing going. I'm really happy. I don't have to answer to anyone. I don't have to like be the best to do what I love. And as a pro gamer, right, like that, you have to win.
Yeah,
you have to do well.
Okay, so why do it then? Because you know there's a lot of things that you just mentioned there.
Why do it? Because I believe that with a proper team, and if we practice a lot and we're able to help each other, that I would be able to be successful as. Hopefully we all are able to be successful. And
I wish you the best of luck in this tournament play. Speaking of tournaments, one recent controversy that has hit the Hearthstone community by storm is the IESF tournament.
Yep.
So initially, when it came out, it was stated that there was going to be a men's division and a women's division, and only men could participate in the Hearthstone tournament. And this caused a bit of an uproar. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
My thoughts on the tournament originally being men only, especially for Hearthstone, I thought it was kind of ridiculous. I mean, I didn't really know the reasoning behind it, you know, just the reasons they ended up giving, but I just think that there's no reason to have any tournaments that are male or female only when it comes to like these big events particularly. There's no reason for it, because in Hearthstone, there's absolutely no reason I could even think of that you could give to actually separate the two. So I thought that was pretty crazy. And obviously some more things followed, which I'm sure you'll get to in a second there, Trump. But that was my initial reactions.
Yeah, what were your initial reactions on that, Hafia? Did you keep up with this?
Yeah, I was actually made aware of this before. Reddit was, and I thought it was kind of ridiculous, although it's not a tournament that I personally would have attended regardless, so wasn't super enraged, but I just think it's pretty silly. Like, gender-specific tournaments in general, I find, are pretty silly. I don't think we should be segregating that.
Well, my stance is that they're silly to an extent. I actually... do support the addition of some amount of female tournaments. And the good news is IESF recently announced that their tournament is no longer just for men. Mm-hmm. So even the females can compete now. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think Blizzard got involved with it, and they wanted to make sure that Hearthstone is open to everybody. You know, they're really huge on it being accessible to everybody, and you know, it's going to carry over into esports too. And I think they had a say in talking to those guys and having them, you know, maybe part of the reason why they ended up changing it too. So you know, that's pretty interesting. You know, that are pretty cool that Blizzard would come in and give their opinion on that too.
Part of me hopes to see the best of it and be like, oh, they just were misguided, mm-hmm. and they thought that in order to promote esports as more legitimate. Ah, yes.
Legitimate. There you go.
That they would just split it up into men and women. But the thing is, as Hafu well knows, there's no difference between men and women on the internet, and there's no reason why they should be excluded. And I think female tournaments are a good enough thing in order to just promote the inclusion of more females into gaming, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, in that kind of sense, I think that's okay. I had this discussion at a panel that I was at, and I was actually on a panel with four girls, and I was the only one that really did not agree that we should have female-only tournaments. But they brought up really good points, saying that it's a good way for girls to feel comfortable enough to compete. You know, like, if you go to a tournament, if you've ever been to, like, an MLG or a DreamHack, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. And you often get, I don't know, at least I remember my first time going to one, and I just felt extremely out of place. Because there's just, like, a lot of men and then, like, really, really gorgeous booth babes. And then there was me, and it was, like, awkward and 17, and I just really felt out of place. And especially if it's, like, an open tournament, I just don't think I would sign up if I didn't think that, you know, if I had not already qualified or, like, was on a team. There's just no way that I would just enter.
Enter a what? You mean a female-only tournament?
No, like, right. like an open bracket MLG. I just wouldn't feel comfortable just playing against other people. I mean, back then, now it's, like, whatever, but I can totally understand why girls are hesitant.
Right. So creating more of a safe place for the females to compete in like a tournament. Okay.
Right. So onto that, I actually watched your panel discussion at NYU, which is where I came from. So I just naturally had to tune in. Plus, you were on it, one of my favorite streamers. So what did that change your? How did it change your mind on female only tournaments?
I mean. On one end, I can understand having, like, community tournaments or, like, where the prize pool is, like, a high five and, like, riot points or 10 Hearthstone packs. Okay. But I, you know, if we're going to the extreme, let's say, like, there was a all-male tournament for BlizzCon, $100,000 or $250,000 prize pool, right? And there's an all-female prize pool of $250,000. That would be outrageous. Like, I would feel like that would be unfair and stupid.
Well, I think in the current state of things, I would agree with you. But what if?
Why would you ever segregate it? Why would you ever segregate something that, you know? And like in sports, we're physically different, right? Men and women are physically different, so men have an advantage.
Huge debate. Yeah.
Well, okay. True. I don't know. I don't follow sports enough, but I can understand why you don't put, like, I don't know, a male rugby team and a female rugby team. Yeah. On the field, like, I don't know. To me, that seems just, like, just unfair, right? Mm-hmm. But in Hearthstone, it doesn't matter, like, what your body type is, because it's just your brain that matters, and I don't know. If you want to get into, like, the if men are smarter than women are smarter than men, all that crap. Right. I don't know. I personally don't buy it, and I think that girls can compete on an equal footing.
I guess so. On that note, because you brought up, like, some of the physical things, which I think are valid points when it comes to real sports. You know, one of the things with IESF is that it covers a lot of esports, right? Not just Hearthstone, and some of them happen to be StarCraft II and some of the fighting games like Tekken and Street Fighter. With those type of games, do you think there should still be that type of segregation? I mean, is there actually a physical difference there, in your opinion, when it comes to that type of mechanics?
I personally don't play fighting games, so I don't have the experience to say, but in all the games that I've played competitively, I never really noticed, like, I never felt like I was at a disadvantage because I'm a girl. Other than just the community perceiving you a certain way, like, I would say that's, like, the biggest block. I mean, I almost didn't become a streamer because I was so scarred from putting myself out there as a 17-year-old girl in the gaming community. I mean, people are brutal. I mean, not just to girls, but just in general, they're brutal. And then,
but especially to girls.
I mean, everyone knows, and the debate was always like, you know, grow tougher skin, you're on the internet, whatever, why do you care, blah, 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 blah. But I think a lot of people would just rather not have to deal with that kind of thing. I mean, I personally tried a voice changer when I played World of Warcraft just to try to kind of fit in more.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried everything. I mean, originally, people didn't take me seriously because I was like a 14-year-old girl, you know, and no one wanted to play arenas with me. And
wow, that is so epic. It's like a modern-day Mulan.
I mean, I didn't. I found a random rogue, asked him to play twos, and I didn't even like talk on the mic until we hit top 20. And then he was like, "Oh, you're a girl." I was like, "Yep." Hello. And then went from then, just kept winning and winning. But I don't know. I definitely can relate to every girl who feels uncomfortable. And a lot of girls actually ask me, they're like, "How do you do that? How do you like put yourself out there?" And I don't know. It's because I love games. And I think there's plenty of girls who love games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we should get these girls to, and we should encourage them to play, but I think like, this is the main argument for a female only, like, just to get them in, and then, like, they get more comfortable with more of their kind, like, and then go from there.
Yeah, just kind of build from there. It's all about growing the space, right? And growing, and the females are a huge part of gaming. I forget what the actual percentage is when you're talking about just overall gamers and how much.
It's supposed to be, like, 40, 60, but I don't buy that.
I think it's actually closer to 55. Even higher than that.
I mean, doesn't that statistic include, like, phone games?
Yeah, if you include mobile games. But what's wrong with that? I mean, Hearthstone's a mobile game, too. So that should be taken into the formula these days. And
but we're talking about competitive games, right?
Yeah, we're talking of competitive games, but just growing gaming, I think, grows competitive. Like, just competitive games, too. And introduces more and more females to the space. Because I think right now with the mobile, the growth of mobile, we're starting to introduce just gaming period to females, and I think the next step is there'll be just introduction to the competitive side of it. So I think that's going to happen more and more, and we'll get a chance to see it. And games like Hearthstone, which are going to be on the actual devices themselves, will encourage it too. And Hearthstone's actually very accessible. It's a card game, right? Like you said, it's just about about smartness and just smarts and just more mental than anything else when it comes to it. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the perfect venue for females and males to compete against each other. And yeah, I think there should be more. I'd like to see somebody organize a female-only event. That'd be great. That'd be cool to see.
I think it's fun, but again, like, I think that should just be a community thing. I'd be very upset if there was like a female
as a community
pro league personally. Okay. Okay. I'd feel offended by that, actually.
What do you think about their reason? So one of the reasonings that they had for being male-only, IESF, is that it's like one of the rules in accordance to the South Korean-based IESF, and it had something. Their reasoning was that it had something to do with trying to get esports into the Olympics. And with the Olympics, there's like separation between male and female. So what do you think of that?
Well, what, the Olympics?
Yeah, that's what the reason. That's one of the reasons that they
again,
give.
Again, like, we're talking physical.
Yeah.
Differences versus.
That's where it kind of like gets gray, I guess, right? When it comes to Olympics.
I mean, again, I think in sports the main argument is just we're built differently. We have different body types, right? Like just. It's just what it is.
It was a weird reasoning.
How can you compare those things? Like it's an e-sport. Do you guys click faster than us? Is that a thing? Do you have to click super fast in Hearthstone? Get those Miracle Rogue abilities up?
That's right. Those BM abilities.
Spam emotes faster. I don't know. It just... I mean, even in games that require... like, I don't know, StarCraft 2 with Scarlet, right? Like, I don't know.
It's kind of a gray area when it comes to, like...
Meh.
Olympics and stuff like that, so be interesting.
All right, let's move on. So this general stuff is like, okay. I think it's great that men and women are equal on the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to some Naxxramas news, or lack thereof. So one of the things that was at least released just today, a few minutes ago, was the Hearthstone Naxxramas lore. Well, not just Hearthstone, but Naxxramas lore in general. And I, as a World of Warcraft raider, got a bit of nostalgia when looking up all those bosses. Chanman, you told me earlier that you only raided up to Molten Core and Blackwing Lair. Is that right?
Yeah, I pretty much I played World of Warcraft the first year and a half it came out. And then at that point, then real life kind of hit. So I had, you know, some kids and stuff like that. So I got to stop doing raids and that sort of bit at that time. So I didn't get to Nax. I never got a chance to play raid Nax.
All right, Mr. Casual. How about Hafu?
Oh, thanks,
man. Any raiding in WoW?
Oh, I think I played Nax. Was that the one with Patchwork?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I did. I don't remember. It was so long ago. I'm sorry.
Well, Nax Ramis for me was like one of the best raids, nostalgia-wise, because it's the last one of vanilla WoW, and I think it was just comparatively one of the hardest experiences. My guild couldn't actually make it past the Four Horsemen. It was super tough. But for those of you who don't know anything about how the World of Warcraft bosses go, and check out the lore, they're actually really cool. And and see some hints about what the four bosses are going to be like. I can only imagine they're going to emulate much of their abilities in Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. How do you think it's going to translate over, Chanman?
Just what, the bosses?
Yeah.
I mean, I think like what you said is just going to be. I mean, again, like, I'm not too familiar with Nax Ramis itself as a dungeon, but I think they're going to try to mirror it as much as possible and integrate it into, you know, just hero powers and even the design of the heroes. What's really cool of what we've seen so far is that I think each of the dungeons and each of the bosses are going to create a different type of problem for you. And, you know, you'll have to solve it in a different way versus just like straight up just playing, you know, how we would play Constructed right now against a different person. So I think that's really cool. And I think they're going to integrate the same thing, that kind of theme with what has currently been in Nax Ramis in World of Warcraft.
Your thoughts, Hafu? You gonna enjoy the Nax Ramis adventures?
I'm more excited about the cards than the actual storyline or the wings than beating the bosses. I think it'll be cool to have new content, but yeah, more excited about the new cards and the new decks that we'll see.
Yeah, it's all about the new cards for a lot of us. Actually, we're just looking to advance this metagame.
Sorry, I think my webcam officially broke. I've been...
it broke? Broken. Oh, no. That's
I don't sad. Know. It can't be recognized. It does not mouth... Sorry, I don't want to cut into the show. Go ahead.
It's okay. Word is that one of your sponsors makes webcams, yeah?
Yes.
That's true.
That's very exciting.
That's true.
Good stuff. All right. On other news, this one's a little bit more sad. Recently, Chanman has been under a bit of controversy.
Yes.
From the Reddits. For those of us not in the know, even though you've explained it already and unfiltered in your own video blog, why don't you give us a quick rundown, and then I'll give my quick opinion on it.
Yeah, it's been a really long week, actually, and a quick rundown is somebody, you know, basically that I was using alts, you know, on Reddit to help promote some of the threads. And you know, in the past, like when in my StarCraft space, and then you know, recently I've done a little bit of it in Hearthstone too. And that's kind of the gist of it. And I kind of went into explaining it again in the video. And the only thing I want to say actually on Valleytown is because we talked about it kind of ad nauseum is that, you know, I know you guys, a lot of you guys are disappointed about it. Some of you guys have lost trust in me, and I'm really regretful for that because this community is very important to me, not just for making money and that sort of thing. You know, it's not that. I mean, does it have a little bit to do with it nowadays since I'm doing it more full time? Yes. But is it the only reason why I'm doing this for you guys? No, like it's absolutely not. Like I do this content and everything because I want to see this community grow. I want to see this esport grow into something that's amazing because I think the game is amazing. So, you know, for those of you folks that are disappointed and again that have lost my trust, I'm going to do everything I can to regain that trust from you guys. I'm going to, you know, do as much as I've done in the past and more, you know, even at a higher rate and harder to like try to gain that trust from you guys. So expect more events from me. Expect, you know, we'll keep doing all these shows and, you know, I'm going to try my best to get that trust back from you guys.
All right. Wow. Thank you, Chanman. That was very touching. And I myself, when I heard the news, I was at first like very incredulous. I was like, "Nah, it didn't happen. I'm gonna have to check it out after the stream." And then I checked it out, and I was kind of disappointed to find out that it was all real. But Chanman has done quite a lot for the community, and sometimes you make a misstep, and he's admitted it, and he got his due punishment, I think. And it sucks, but that's how it goes. So,
does my webcam work?
Everyone, I'm ready to move on from that.
See me?
And welcome, yeah. Hafu. Oh my gosh, got her webcam on.
Nah, I'm using Jake's webcam.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's completely fair, Trump, and I appreciate the support, too. One thing I want to add, too, is I appreciate the support from a lot of folks, too. So a lot of people have reached out and just, you know, just kind of told me that they support me in all this, and I want to make sure that those people are recognized, too, and, you know, it means a lot to me. All right, I'm trying to get your webcam on, actually. I'm doing this, so this is...
When it comes to Reddit, I completely understand what they did. I think they're on the right of it, of course. And it's just the way that Reddit is designed, I find their ideals to be great. Just not allowing, just making sure that everyone has their own equal say. And I hope that that leads them to success, unlike other sites which came before them and failed because they may have failed to do so. All right.
Great.
Got Hafu on. Now we can talk about the meta. So, Hafu, you've got the most experience with this. You played a lot the last season, especially at the end, and you have a lot of experience playing against like the top 16 and the top legend players. So, what is the meta right now?
Miracle Rook and things that beat Miracle Rook. So, on the last day, I don't know. On the last few... Last week, it was kind of crazy. You would see really, really different decks. So, like, no matter what you played, you would run into a counter. So, there's, like, the Miracle Rogues, and then there's, like, the Aggro Rogues that destroy the Miracle Rogues. And then there's decks that destroy Aggro, so, like, really slow Druids. And then the Miracle Rogues farm the Druids who are farming the Rogues. I don't know. It's just this... You couldn't find a deck that just, like, won... against all, everything on ladder. And then there's, like, obviously Zoo, and then Handlock, and then, like, random aggro pally, slow pally. I don't know. I've seen it all. Like, Freeze Mage is a thing, as you guys know.
Yeah.
People say it counters Miracle. I actually don't disagree.
I think the straight Freeze does better than, like, the giant ones against a Miracle, if you can get that vaporized timed decently. But
I suppose the ones that run vaporize, but it's just a race to get minions out, and I think like when the list first came out, no one knew how to play against it because Miracle is just like, oh, I just kill you, and then they're like,
yeah,
LOL, ice block, and then I think if you just shadow step your earthens after he Alex draws you, it's like pretty hard to lose.
That's
they
true.
Just mill themselves,
yeah.
They fatigue, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that is a bit of an interesting thing about the Freeze Mage. I think part of its success was because it was a bit of a new thing, so people didn't quite know how to play against it, especially the Miracle Rogue. So for a while, it did very well against the Miracle Rogue, but then Miracle Rogue started doing these things like saving those Earthen Ring Farseers, like Hafu said, and then like shadow stepping them, and then they get out of range, and blah. Chanman, you tried to play a Paladin.
Okay.
What kind of problems did you face due to the meta?
So the Paladin, the biggest issue with the Paladin I was playing, so I was trying to play a mid-range Paladin just because after Season 1 Finals of Deck Wars and watching Strifecrow in particular play these mid-range Shamans and obviously his Druid, which he's famous for, I kind of got inspired just to really get better at that type of just more fundamental play, you know, just straight-up board control and somewhat value, somewhat just correct play, and I definitely make mistakes when it comes to that, so I kind of wanted to force myself into that. So I ended up playing Shaman, like, I think previous season, got Legend with that, so I wanted to kind of do that with Paladin, too, to see if I could do it as a challenge, and the thing I ran into it most was, A, aggro is tough to deal with as a Paladin, given that there's just not, unless you're playing, like, a Shokadin, there's just not very many small minions that you can play and really make sense with the rest of the Paladin components. So you kind of rely on just huge removal with Equality and Pyro and just a lot of the options, right, with Equality. So that was an issue. And also, like, I think a lot of the successful decks in the current metagame have huge bursts at the end. And the only thing that kind of emulates that with the Paladin is Avenging Wrath, like two turns with Avenging Wrath in a row, you know, that type of thing, instead of like one turn that does 16. And that's, I think, a huge issue just with Paladin in general. Like, if you're playing anything outside of a super aggro Paladin.
All right, that was very insightful. And it's time to drop some stats.
All right.
So I was just looking up my last month of played, the last 30 days, and that'll cover most of the June metagame. So apparently, of the... How many games did I play? Wow, almost 500. 281 plus 212, that's 493. So almost 500. I played Freeze Mage 50% of those.
Wow. And okay.
The highest I hit was... No, I mean, I played it. And I got to, like, top 13 at the highest. But the opponents heroes that I play about, played against were... Looks like... About 50% are Rogue plus Warlock. Turns out there were 26% Rogue and 22% Warlock. It'd be interesting to split up the Rogue and the Warlock since there were two very different decks. Mm-hmm. The Aggro Rogue and the Miracle Rogue and the Zoo Warlock and the Handluck.
And
then there was 18% Druid. So essentially about two-thirds of the metagame was Warlock, Rogue, and Druid. And I think that does hold somewhat true to the start of this season, although at the start of this season, I have been seeing some rather interesting things. And the last remaining pieces are just 7% Warrior, 7% Paladin, actually, 6% Shaman, 6% Mage, 5% Hunter, and in last place, 3% Priest, with actually 16 sightings. So it was everything was represented to some amount.
Yeah, I'm surprised Warrior and Shaman were 7%. Wow, that's really low.
Warrior gets destroyed by Rogue.
Oh, I know it does. I just thought it might be a tiny bit higher than that. Wow, that's cool. With the Freeze Mage Trump, did you play the Giant version, or did you just... I saw you play a little bit of Giant at the end, or the Giant version at the end. Did you play any straight Freeze?
I did play the straight Freeze to begin with. Otter actually came on my stream. Thank you, Otter, to teach me the ins and outs of his version, which was the Giantless version. And then afterwards, I was thinking... I actually got up to a pretty high rank with that, maybe somewhere around 20, and then I started falling off mostly because my matchup against Miracle Rogue wasn't as good as I would expect. And also, the Druid was tough, and the Warrior was an auto-lose, so I was like, I'm going to try this Giant thing. It might make me not auto-lose against Warrior. It's going to make the Druid matchup better because they can't remove it, hopefully. And it's going to make the Miracle Rogue matchup better because the reason they have problems with Handlock is that there's no easy way to remove those giants. Unfortunate. And it worked. It got me up to like top 13 for a moment, but then I fell again. It's really tough to hold that consistent win percentage up there.
Yeah,
so the jury's out on that, basically. But it's certainly an option.
I mean, that's a good question to ask Hafu. So Hafu, you know, you finishing seventh, but you were number two on the second to the last day, because I remember that. And I remember Forsen was on Pro Corner that day, and he was saying that Hafu was, like, right on his tail, and or you were right
what?
On his tail. Yeah,
that's how what did he know?
Or, I mean, you were number two, and he was number one, and so that's what he was telling us. And so
I didn't care about number one. I just wanted to qualify.
Yeah, right, exactly. But talk about staying in there. Like, how... Like, what is the winning percentage you have to even get to that spot?
I actually don't use a stat tracker. I'm going to install one probably before next time I play. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how important it was, but that is important to see what you are winning and losing against. And it's really hard because in this game, I'm used to playing games where if you're just better, you just win, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. If you lost, it's your own misplay. And in Hearthstone, you can misplay and lose. But in Hearthstone, you can also just draw poorly and lose. Mm-hmm. And so you have to distinguish, am I playing badly, or was that truly an unlucky game? And you have to be very unbiased about that. Because the second you're just misplaying, you should stop. There's no point in continuing if you're going to throw away games that you could have won. Because it's actually like a two-game or three-game swing, almost. You know, because you, by losing, you have to win two more to make up for that one loss that you would have won anyway, right? So it's like this, every loss is devastating. But I actually started at rank 37 for the day. Tanked down to 450. I think that's the lowest I have ever been. Wow. I just got destroyed over and over and over by Aggro Rogue.
Yes.
Switched to Aggro Hunter, which apparently does not beat Aggro Rogue. Switched to slowed, like, double Savage Roar Druid with, like, a Stranglethorn Tiger, which is actually pretty cute, against Miracle Rogues. And that actually did okay against Aggro Rogue, and it did okay against Miracle. But then I would lose to, like, slower Druid decks, right? Because there's taunts, and you're like, well, crap. And then, I don't know, you just keep trying to change decks, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not even really great at all of these. I should just go back to what I know. Mm-hmm. And I made a list. Actually, Fireback gave me his list, who got it from Suichi? Is that his name? I'm sorry. I want to credit the people who deserve it? The credit. Suichi? Is that how you say it? It's like S-U-I-C-H-E. It's Suichi. His list. Apparently, him and Fireback came up with it, but it has like an Assassin's Blade and a Senjin and like a Gnomish Enter.
Yeah, I know what it is. List you're talking about.
Yeah, so I used that one, even though, like, Forsen's list made sense since he got to rank one, right? Like, if he can do it, then it's probably very viable. And, yeah, I just used that, kept winning, and I don't think I lost a single game between rank 250 to 2. So
how many games do you think that was?
That was, like, I was delirious at that point. I played 16 hours straight. Like, I didn't even eat. I bought a sandwich, and it just like, I threw it out, because 16 hours later, I did not want to eat the sandwich. I just got a coffee, and I was just, like, playing, and every loss is so devastating.
I know, that's what I mean. It's like,
oh, my God. At rank 20, there's, like, a wall, and you're at rank 26, you're like, oh, I won one, and you look at your rank 26, just like, what? It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
So are we talking, like, 20 and 0 type of stuff? Like rank, just generally speaking, like if you were just off the top of your head, what you think it might be, going from 40, whatever you were, 200 something to
I know
two.
From like rank 100, it was about 15 games.
Oh my gosh, that's brutal.
I mean, there was this one jump, like you get through the 30s where everyone is, because that's everyone's clumped up there. You get through the 30s, and then from like 11, I went from 11 to 6, and then 6 to 2, and then I stopped. So, it was just that wall. I think I played like 5 or 6 games between rank 30 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Or 23, I guess. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
My last game was against Hyped on a stupid Smurf. I was so pissed, because it was a Miracle Rogue Mirror, which is just a coin flip, and he's really good, right? He doesn't mess up. When you play like someone like that, they just don't mess up.
Right.
And he had kill on. I was pretty sure I was dead the next turn. I had 14 health. He had like a stealth auctioneer on board, and my one draw was Leroy Jenkins, 1-9, and I got it. And then I just screamed and ran around my room. Yay!
You know, I think that entire speech from Hafu is just goes to show what it takes to be like. To have a competitive mindset, you gotta really feel pain each time you lose, and not like just crap, this game sucks pain, but that kind of pain where you just want to keep looking out, make sure you didn't make mistakes, and just keep getting better. And
you have to really distinguish whether you just sucked that game and if like what line of play was correct. If there was a line of play that you could have won, and was it statistically correct to take that line of play? It's like so many things, and you try not to be biased, and you're pissed off because, you know, that guy top decked you, and Leroy is bullshit.
Do you get tilted at all? Like,
of course.
Often? I mean, what do you usually do? Do you just stop playing? Or do you power through it? Because some people power through it, right?
I power through it, but I slow down. I take my hands off my mouse. Because, like, when I'm tilted, I play quickly because I'm annoyed. Mm-hmm. And what I just started doing is just like, okay, think about my move. Think about it out loud.
Yeah.
Does this make sense? And then do the move. And it's, like, really hard to do that. I don't know why it's so hard to do that. But I feel like when I'm tilted, I just want to get the turn over. Like, this is the right move. And, you know, if you take a step back, like, the right move in one turn might not be the right turn for the game. I don't know. There's just too many factors. No sleep. And you just need good luck, and you need to play well. Like, but you definitely need both of those things. it's not just you can just be a great player and just get to rank the top 16 in like an hour. Like, I don't think anyone would bet on that, that they could win 15 games in a row, because it's Hearthstone, right?
Like, yeah. So we all nowadays, have there's more and more users every single day, too, so more and more competition every season. So
yeah, I think this game is so frustrating. That's, like, another reason why I didn't want to go competitive in it. I'm used to, like, if I work really hard and I'm becoming, like, if I'm the best, then I can win. And I know that I go to a tournament and I expect to win, right? Like, that's an expectation, or at least I have, like, a very good shot at winning, whereas I don't feel that way, that that's the case in Hearthstone. And maybe that's just my inexperience as a card game player, but it just feels like, oh, I could beat players who are much better than me just because I drew better. I mean, that seems ridiculous to me, but I guess it's just a reality. And if you give yourself the best winning percentage every time, then you're bound to win more than other people. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing that distinguishes people over time. It's something where, like, one tournament is difficult to discern someone's skill, but over time, and a lot of tournaments, and or a lot of ladder, you get to know who the really good players are.
Amaz doing work.
Yeah.
Raid tournament. What a beast.
Speaking of tournaments, what are some cool tournaments or cool event/tournaments coming up, Shanman?
All right, so the big one this week that was announced, or just today that was announced, is DreamHack Valencia. And there's always been rumors. Lothar was actually updating us constantly on just the details of it, but they finally announced it today. Let me show you guys. And again, it's going to be in Spain. This DreamHack is not going to be as big as DreamHack Summer, because DreamHack Summer is the actual LAN, so that's traditionally a much bigger event. It's produced by the DreamHack team. This will be more similar to the Bucharest event, where they'll have a local partner there be doing it. They just announced it. It's in 2 weeks, so it's pretty soon. You can sign up for it. There's going to be 128 slots. The prize is going to be 3,000 euros. And it's going to be a Swiss format, top 16 single elimination bracket, after the Swiss is just the results of the Swiss are decided. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see a lot of players there, too. There won't be an English cast there, so there'll have to be more of a online community kind of cast. And not sure who's doing it. Actually, somebody asked me today, if I could kind of help organize that. So we'll have to figure out what's happening there. So there'll be a Spanish cast at the event itself. But yeah, it'd be great to see some of the top players there too. And I don't think there's any other events announced. Some other kind of community events that are going on is that the Blizzard community team announced the Fireside. They added something to the Fireside gatherings, which is really cool, because I've organized a Fireside gathering, and I'm going to organize another one in the first weekend of August. This weekend, I believe, in the first weekend of August, they're going to give the winners of these Fireside Gathering tournaments, because the organizers are running tournaments now at these things, a chance to qualify for the Zotac pre-qualifier tournaments, which is kind of cool, because it kind of leads into this whole storyline of BlizzCon. So pulling in this whole kind of community thing with the Fireside Gathering thing is really, really a great idea. So they'll be doing that too, and again, all the organizers, Fireside Gathering organizers out there, should look into this, get some more details on this, and hopefully you folks that play Hearthstone can maybe figure into this BlizzCon storyline, and maybe even play Hafu in the regional qualifier or whatever. That would be kind of funny. But I think that's about it for events. I don't think there's any other big event coming up. There's a lot of online, just tournaments that you've been seeing, like the Well-Played event in the Millennium Cup that we saw this past weekend. I think there's going to be some more of those. None of them quite announced yet, but yeah, that's about it, Trump.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, let's go on a break, and when we come back, we're going to answer the questions that you submit to the Reddits.
Yeah, all right. Woo. We'll be right back.
Wait, now? Oh. All right, welcome back! And now is the part of Value Town where you get the value because we answer your questions, which the ones which have the most value to them, according to the masses. So let's get started. Let's see. Question one's from Closed Guard. Asks, which meta deck has the most simple mulligan options? That's the part of my game that struggles most, and I want to avoid the problem as much as possible on Arundel Legend. What are your thoughts? Start with Hafu.
I think every meta deck is fine about mulligans. Maybe Druid is the most simple, but I really think that when you should just pick a deck that you really like and that is competitive, and then you can kind of learn the matchups yourself. Every time you play against any matchup, take note of, oh, what card do I wish I had right now? And then that's probably the card you should mull for. And just write it down if you have bad memory. In this way, you remember, like, oh, he played this, and if I had this, then I probably would have won. Mull for it next time. Yay. So, yeah, good luck.
Hey, thoughts, Jenna?
So which one has the simplest mulligan options?
Simplest mulligan.
Yeah, I think for the same part of margin of error, I don't know if it's going to get you a legend, but just margin of error, maybe a zoo deck, or Handlock's not that bad either, mulligan-wise. Like, pretty consistent. Yeah, Druid too. I think those two. Three, I mean, those three. But Warlock, the two Warlock ones first, though.
Yeah, I think those were good calls. As far as mulligan comes, it's just one choice out of many. So I think it's silly to look at that as, like, the run to legend, the problem. But, yeah, I generally agree. Druid, you're pretty much just looking for your Innervate and your Wild Growth. Zoo, you're just looking for the early drops. The Handlock, you're looking for the four drops sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of gameplay past that first decision, although admittedly it's pretty big. And some of them do. Some of the decks do have pretty big, complex decisions.
Yeah, I mean, when we had Forsen, and I know, Trump, you're definitely a believer in this, because I'm watching you in the tournament, you were waiting on your mulligan until it timed out, actually, a few times. But Forsen was saying, like, a lot of times he's just waiting for what his opponent does. Depending on what he does there, he mulligans completely different a lot of times. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. And one of the highest voted threads on the Hearthstone Reddit right now is mulligan shouldn't be shown until both players decided it. What are your thoughts on that, Jan, man?
I think that's fair. I mean, the thing is, like, once everybody finds out each other that both players take that into account, or one of the players take it into account, they're just going to wait for it to time out anyways. So if that becomes a standard thing and a lot more people start using it, then why not? You might as well just make it to the point where it's just fair for both. What do you think?
Yeah, do you think that matters at all, Hafu? Do you look at those types of things?
I started to, because you should. But you can make generalizations, but sometimes they backfire, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, if they mull everything as a Warlock, we assume it's Handlock. Because they generally have a good one drop to play, right? Yeah. I think someone told me that. But sometimes a Zoo. Did you tell me that?
It might have been. It's something
probably.
That...
I've heard it a lot, and I don't know if I buy it. I told everyone, you know what, I don't care. I'm always going to mull for Zoo, because if you don't have a good hand against Zoo, I just feel like you're screwed. Whereas, like, Handlock, you have a couple turns. But, again, I'm not too experienced with card games. I don't know what the standard is with other card games, so maybe that's a good place to compare. Like, what do you do in Magic?
Magic used to have a order where you would have, I think, the first player and then the second player, and then they figured, oh, it's not going to matter much, so they just made it simultaneous. Unfortunately, that's not quite the case for Hearthstone, I think, because in Magic, you don't get to know what class your opponents are, and in Hearthstone, you get to, like, you get a big hint on what deck they're playing, like, because of their face, and then each face has, like, basically two main decks, and based on how many cards they mulligan, you might be able to get a statistical swing towards one side. So I actually do think that this simultaneous mulligan is better for Hearthstone.
Yeah.
It's just something to implement. What's
so
up,
Hoppy? So sorry. I keep interrupting you.
What's up?
I don't remember. I'm so embarrassed because I cut you off twice.
It's okay.
Oh, what do you think about like add-ons in general, I mean, that's kind of been a thing about League with the curse voice thing. But I mean, in Hearthstone, there's like Hearthstone Tracker. I didn't even know this thing existed. I saw it when Puff. Okay. Yeah, because I don't keep up with anything. I just kind of stream in my bubble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw Puffin use it, and it tracks who you play, their name, their class, who mauled first, who went second, and they have it all. I mean, do you think that's unfair that we're able to have programs that do that? I mean, you could manually write it down, but it just seems almost ridiculous that some people have all their stats. Like, you know, I don't know, when I play for like 8 hours, I recognize the name again, but I don't remember what deck they ran because I just recognize a lot of names. But if you're running a tracker, you can actually just look it up, right? And you can see what they were
doing. Right. That actually reminds me of like Poker Tracker. Where
do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
I love it, but that's...
Where you can see people's like percentages of calling and whatnot, but that's a segue. Like, I to an extent, these tracker things are fair. In the extent, like, I use Hearthstone Tracker, for example, and it just gives me the decks that I played against, not necessarily the names, and I think that's fair. Like, to an extent, you start to toe the line on what's allowed, though. I've heard of a program which allows you to actually know what cards are left in your deck as you're playing it, and I think that might be toeing the line because that is an add-on which gives you an advantage during the game. It's all kind of a gray area for now.
I mean, you can do that manually, can't you?
You can do it manually, but it's something that takes a lot of effort. And if you just have a program telling you that, that seems to cross the line for me.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that, Shenman?
I know what you mean. I mean, I have this... It's kind of like what's allowed in a tournament. Should that be like the same setting that you have at home too, right? Laddering. And I think I lean towards like wishing that it, you know, that you weren't allowed to use that. But again, like Hafu said, that if you can write it down manually itself, then that's already kind of allowed. So making yourself a tool doesn't seem that much different, but I would like it if, you know, you couldn't, at least the deck thing, that you couldn't do that. I actually like the tracker thing, just because I just like numbers. And I know, Trump, you love numbers too, and I think it's just information. Does the Hearthstone tracker make everything public to everybody on the site? I forget which site does. Like, there was one site that was making stuff public at one point, so it's like you could actually see what your opponents have been playing recently and that sort of bit, which I didn't really quite love as much, but... I don't know if that's the same tracker site. Do you know, Sean?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Because there's different stat trackers that you can use right now. But for stuff that's tracking your personal stuff, I think that's great. If it's a site that makes everybody's games kind of public, I'm not as big a fan of that.
Okay, let's take the next question. Let's see. Pixation has a question to me. Trump, do you have any plans to join or start any teams in the near future? If not, how come? And what is your opinion on Hearthstone teams in general? My thought on Hearthstone teams, I'll take that one first, is that they're really useful. You might think that Hearthstone is a one-player game, but it turns out that as a team, and Hafu, I'm sure you have some input on this, you can get a lot of collaboration and you can help your teammates out through screen sharing or just through dealing them about what better plays are. And you do actually learn a lot and the team grows together. Thoughts on that, Hafi?
Yeah, I think it's just the collaboration. I'm really excited to see how the team things plays out as the new cards are released, because right now a lot of the deck lists are exhausted, right? You're not seeing too many new innovative decks because it's just such a limited card pool. But with teams, I think people will really be prepping in secret and we'll see some really interesting decks played in tournaments. So you definitely need play partners to test, right? You have to test extensively. So I think that's a big part of it.
I think what's cool too about the teams is that a lot of them work together and test for each other. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the events, the team members don't run the same decks. Like, maybe there's, like, one deck that they run the same, so it's kind of cool to see how, even just stylistically, all the players are different within the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you again, you don't see, like, the same exact decks coming from the entire team.
Yeah, I mean, there are Magic the Gathering teams as well, and one of the advantages is that they can collaborate on deck building, especially now. Mm-hmm. This set has been out for some time now, so there's not as much as that, but when Naxxramas comes out, I think the teams might have an advantage. Although, like, the decks are spread pretty rapidly through the internet these days.
Very.
But perhaps in a tournament, which has, like, a recent expansion, then they'll be able to bust out something really new if they keep it under wraps. Let's see, so... Do I have any plans to join or start any teams? Well, I'm a very cautious person, and I like to take my time and research. But, yeah, there's some plans, and if I join or start a team, then I'll make sure that it is a good fit and a good value team. All right. We've got Casual Player next with a few questions directed to Hafu. One... Do you enjoy playing Arena or Overconstructed?
I did at one point, and I still do to some extent, just because it's more casual. You don't have to worry too much, and you can interact with chat a lot more. So on a streamer level, I prefer playing Arena. In Constructed, if you're reading chat constantly, you're not micromanaging. Like in Constructed, you're counting cards, right? You're keeping track of what you've played, what they've played. You know what's in the rest of their deck. They know what's in the rest of yours, generally. In Arena, you don't have to keep track of that because could be anything. There could be 8 flame strikes. Yeah, you don't right. know. And you can just hang out a bit more. So hope that answers that.
All right. I, for one, hope for Arena to move out of the... You said casual, and I'm like, took a stab to my heart. You can get some Arena tournaments here. Yeah. More of this, right? Let's see. Question 2. You have played a lot of other games on a high level. Is Hearthstone the game you enjoy most out of all the games you've played?
Absolutely not. I think Hearthstone is really fun, but at the highest level, I have more fun in, one, a team setting, and two, again, I don't like the fact that someone worse than me could beat me, or that I could beat someone who's better than me.
The luck factor, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like that because, again, I don't understand it enough since this is my first time playing in something at a high level that's not completely... It's not that it's not skill-based. It is 100% skill-based, and you see mm-hmm. the same people at the top, but I'm just saying, like, the idea that you could just lose randomly after putting in so much work and time and effort just seems unattractive to me, I guess. But yeah, Bloodline Champions, definitely my favorite game that I've played at a high level. I won DreamHack for it.
She's a world champ at it.
Yeah, and you know, that was like a no RNG, all skill shot game. Mm-hmm. Super fun.
Yeah, it's definitely Hearthstone is definitely one where that's a draw, a positive and a negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, question 3 towards you from Casual Player. You are now a member of the new Team Cloud9. Congratulations. What do you hope and expect this experience will bring you?
Again, this is so new. I'm super excited. Again, the roster is just so strong. I'm so thrilled to be on it with so many great players. I had this question kind of similar. I answered this... Oh my god, I'm so eloquent. I answered this question yesterday on stream, and someone actually... Oh my god. Thoughts, words, where are you?
You're tired.
Let me start again. Basically, even though I'm thrilled to be playing with them, I didn't know how my teammates felt about me, because I haven't done anything really great in Constructed. Like, I placed pretty well on ladder, but that's not, I don't find that to be super impressive by any means. And it's hard to compare me to someone like Strifecrow or Kalento or Nimshir, Echo, all of them, right? And so I was like, oh, I don't know how they feel though. And someone linked me, like, Nimsh's comments on me on like an iHeartU their show thing, and he just said such kind things.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah, on time too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I like teared up a bit. So I'm really happy that they're happy to have me, that they believe that I can improve And yeah, I'm just excited. Woo! Team. They're a really good team.
All right. And the final question from him is, are you willing to sing a song of Trump? I'm sure everyone would love that. Well, I'll take this one. We've already sung a song.
Woo-hoo!
But are any songs in the future, Hafu?
This is up to you, Trump. I don't want to bother
you. What song did y'all sing?
We sang A Whole New World.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember that.
Duh.
I remember that.
All right. Someday.
Someday. All right.
Soon.
Soon.
Soon, TM.
Yep. All right. On to the next. We've got... Terror asking the general question of what card from Nax will mix up the meta the most. I think we've seen questions similar to this all the time, but any changes, Chanmeth?
No changes for me. I'm still looking forward to getting my hands on Nerubian and trying some things out with the Nerubian egg. But outside of that, it's just I don't really have that many opinions formulated yet with a lot of the others. I don't know. What about you guys?
For me, I think that the more I look at Nerubian Egg, the more I think that that's going to be the card which pushes Zood to be super dominant, just because two mana 4/4s, like, they're incredible. You've got the Innervate Yeti, you've got the Ancient Watcher, like, and then the Owl. Those are all really strong plays, and now you've got the Egg, and every single card in the zoo already just naturally synergizes with the Egg. A lot of the cards do, and...
That's exactly what Reynad said. I asked him about that at BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah?
Or not BlizzCon. Shoot. PAX.
Huh?
You can't clear Zoo anymore if you have Nerubian Egg on the board. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's Trump's guess for a first card to be nerfed, if there are cards to be nerfed. So you generally agree with that, Hafu, or any other card?
Oh, I haven't really been keeping track of any cards. I'm kind of one of those... I don't know. It's just, unless they announce every single card, it's kind of hard to distinguish what's good right now, since you don't know what's in the rest, right? We only have, was it 9 cards out of 30? So, I mean, how are you going to distinguish what's good when you don't know?
Yeah.
It's more than 9. It's like 15
about
at this point?
About 14, 15.
Something like
that,
yeah.
15 have been released? My bad, then.
Yeah, there's a few neutrals, like the Nerubian.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just haven't been keeping up. I think if they release them all, then you could start... building decks because you know exactly what's...
Yeah, that's the stance I always have to take. It's like, oh,
yeah,
that's
totally Trump's stance every time we talk about a card. Well, I'll have a follow-up question. Do you think silence will be a big part of the meta?
My God. Tank Master will come back, I think. I mean, with the amount of Death Rattles and all the synergies of Death Rattle, I mean, if you don't deal with it, I feel like you're going to lose. I mean, today I was watching Strife Crow's stream, and he played against a shaman who, like, played an injured Blade Master, double Ancestral Spirited, traded it into a Drake, and got 2/4/7s. Like, that to me just blew my mind. I was like, what am I seeing? Imagine that with, like, the legendary with the double Death Rattle. Oh my God, you have 4/4/7s suddenly. Oh my God. That's just like...
That would be sick.
The game ends. Like, what do you do
against
that? You know, speaking real quickly on that, that's something that amuses/amazes me, because I've always guessed, like, oh, there's still room for decks, and that has kind of stirred the waters just a little bit, this kind of Ancestral Spirit healing shaman deck. Kind of interesting. Might have to watch out for it, guys.
Yeah, we've seen some versions of it in the past, like, kind of pop up early seasons, but nothing stuck for a long time.
You have a lot of, like, really strong combos, right? But you have to draw the combos, and if you have too many situational cards, you're just gonna... Like, when it works, you're like, oh my God, this is so good. Or, like, you have that one Deathwing that just wins you the game. And you're like, this is the best card ever. And then you try putting in a deck. You're like, this is the worst card ever. so, like, situationally, there's always going to be insane combos. But when you have too many dead cards, I feel, you just won't find high success.
All right. I've got a question directed to me by Brawl. Asks, as someone who has a background with other card games, is there any deck style that you miss from those games? The deck style that I miss the most is... Well, I was always a big control player in Magic the Gathering, notably. And I really liked playing blue-white, black-blue. And the deck style that I like the most is just very low minion count, because I hated seeing my stuff die and then just kill them at the end, like control them, kill at the end with some sort of unstoppable force. And Hearthstone actually has something like that. It's called Miracle Rogue. yeah. It's also very minion light, and actually, it pretty much is that, except that in Hearthstone you also play Azure Drakes, Earthen Rings, SI7s, but something that would be cool is no minions, although it has been stated by Blizzard that that kind of style is like not really interactive and probably won't see it, and I tend to agree with that. One of the things I like about Hearthstone is the interaction. Avi, what's your card game background?
None. I lost to the tutorial. Oh,
I remember that.
Yeah.
You sure lost the Lore Walker show.
No, I did not lose the Lore Walker show. Thank you very much.
Any card gaming, Shannon?
No. This was my first TCG, too. And I mean, I've played cards, you know, like poker and just traditional cards, but never TCGs or CCGs.
Well, yeah, poker actually is, it helps a lot, I'd say.
Yeah. It's got similar things. It's easy to play, but hard, very incredibly hard to master, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and let's finalize it with one arena type question, since Hafu's here, the expert. At what point, and this is asked by Sky King, should I know if my arena deck will be aggressive or controlling, and how should that affect my future draft choices? I'll throw this one to Hafu first.
I don't really view arena as like having an aggressive deck or a defensive deck. I guess maybe I'm doing it wrong. I just kind of pick cards that synergize well with each other. So if I'm drafting and I'm like, oh, I can have... I don't know. Like if I have a knife juggler, then I'm more inclined to take things that make two minions. On Druid, if I have like a Violet Teacher, then I want every Power of the Wild and Soul of the Forest that comes my way. I do dumb stuff, but if you get... It's the combos in Constructed that kind of win, right? And so in Arena too, like if you... Like everyone picks value cards, so it's hard to really win a value fight. Because everyone's picking the right cards right now. Yeah. Like at the beginning, you could do that and you could get away with it because everyone sucked. And no one knew what was good. People would play Goldshire Footmen. So if you pick a Yeti against their Goldshire Footmen, you're going to win that fight. Woo! But since now everyone knows that Yeti is good, you're going to see Yeti every time. And I don't know.
Oh, man. Soul of the Forest. So you actually pick that card over...
I went 11-3 with double
Soul
of the Forest.
Over decent cards or over good cards? Like you would pick Soul of the Forest over those if you thought it was synergetic in your deck?
It was synergetic. I won so many times, I had a million trees.
All right,
Trees on trees on trees. What are they going to do? What are they going to do if Soul of the Forest makes three trees every time?
But let's put a bit of perspective. Would you pick it over, like, not the greatest card, like Yeti, but would you pick it over, like, Silverhand Knight, Shattered Sun Cleric, Bloodfin Raptor?
Depends on the rest of my deck, but probably. And it's more fun. And, again, it's kind of those value swings that you don't see anymore because everyone's just getting better. There's like arena site. I mean, didn't you make a site or something? I don't know.
He's got with guides, like lots of guides.
Yeah, so if people are taking those guides. Everyone's going to be on equal footing, and there's only so much you can do better than the other person in arena, right? Like, yeah. If you don't take those swings, one, it's less fun, and I don't know. That's the way I feel, but obviously we draft very different decks, Trump.
It's very true. I'll address how you draft differently, but Shaman, any arena?
No, don't even ask me about arena.
All right. Like, sorry, on you.
In fact, I wanted to have one of you guys on Pro Corner to do arena coaching one of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've got two of the best people to ask.
That's true. Exactly.
For me, I have a very different style, like Coffee said. I don't think I would ever consider Soul of the Forest in any deck, period. I certainly wouldn't take it over good card. I did release a value list, and I'm one of the people who probably follows that list the most. The only times where I will go off of the list is when the mana curve calls for it, or if something is just so pressing. But I find it... I'm one of the probably the fewest people who will draft for a synergy or combo, and most of my decks just end up as a result mid-rangey and just pure value. where my cards tend to be good overall.
Yeah, you have a good turn every turn.
Yeah.
You'll do well.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool that you can have two different approaches and still have a lot of success.
You can have, like,
in
ten
both of them.
Different approaches.
Exactly, so it's kind of cool. Like, Crip, I think, has a different approach, too, than you guys, and whoever else. Who else is actually really... Who else in the community is known to be top arena player?
Doesn't Guardsman Bob do pretty well?
Oh, does he? I didn't know Guardsman Bob. Super good at...
I haven't really watched the stream, but from my understanding, he does well.
Okay.
Hmm. And I think Eggy plays arena a lot, and he, like, does double... Arena. Again, I haven't really watched much of it, but I imagine that he's a good arena player.
Okay.
Masan, right? A little bit. I don't know how much arena he plays anymore, but at least back when I...
Yeah. It seems like most of the players are transitioning over to Constructed.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I don't even think of myself as an arena player anymore. I play mm-hmm. Constructed.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Cool. Good show, fellas. Let's wrap it up. Chanman, got any shout-outs? Shout-outs.
Yeah. Shout-outs to, of course, you guys for doing the show today. It's always a blast to hang out with you, Trump, each and every week. And then Hafu, always our friend, our buddy. It's great to have you back on. It's been a while since we have you on, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time? Was it the interview? Was that the last time we had you on?
I was in my old... at my place in Boston, so before February.
Wow.
That's a long
time.
We gotta
have you on more often. That's way too long. And big shout out to, again, all of you guys for watching the show each and every week. And hopefully you guys continue to watch the show. And you can catch the VODs a little bit later on youtube.com/ChanManV. You can follow me on Twitter too, @ChanManV.
Cool. Hafu, you got any shout outs? I'm sure you've got a few.
Shout out to Cloud9, my team, my manager, just all of them, and my sponsors, of course. And thank you to Chanman for having me on his show. Thank you to Trump for being an awesome host today. Woo! And thank you for all my fans, all the supporters. Pingu Army, woo!
Yay, Pingu! I'm actually one of the recent additions to the Army.
Yes.
OMG Army. And finally... as for me, I'd like to give a shout-out to Forsen for, during the last weekend, I basically learned Miracle Rogue by watching and streaming his videos of him playing, and that's just something that I really encourage people who want to get better to do. Watch other people who are good, and then take your time. Like, sometimes if you need to pause, do it, and then talk through what you would do during your moves, or during their moves, and then what you would do, and then see if it matches up. Once you match up a really good percentage, then you're going to be around their rank. All right, but that's going to be pretty tough. And, of course, a big shout-out to Hafu for joining a great team. Congratulations. And we'll wrap that up. Hooray. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Valley Town. And with that, I, Trump, your host, bid you goodbye.
All right, we'll see you next week. Later.